We who are in this church today, we are a part of God's family. I don't care if you're white, brown, green, gray, yellow, or pink. We are brothers and sisters. And until you get used to that, you're going to miss your blessing.
In this week's lesson, Dr. Williams teaches about family, the family of God, in a message which he titles, "The Family That Works Together Can Live Together." Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the 133rd Psalm, verse 1. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium. And let's join morning worship service already in progress.
How many of you all really, I'm not talking about what you heard. How many of y'all really know, I mean really know, that if you're born again by the blood of Jesus, you are brothers and sisters? Yes, sir. I don't hear you. Are you brothers and sisters? Then, if you are brothers and sisters, remain standing. If you are brothers and sisters, come here, sir. You come here. If you are brothers and sisters, this brother here, pay attention because you'll miss a blessing. He might say something or do something that I don't like. It's not his problem. Is how I have to work through it. And one way to do it is because we are part of the same blood. And I have to see that he did not understand all what he was doing. So then I substitute what I know, supersedes what he didn't know. You're going to say, man, this is the Bible. So then you got this brother over here. Every time I pass, and listen careful, because see, once I give you the word, then you're responsible. Right. He might pass me in this aisle and look at me and won't speak because he thinks he's a big shot. Well, let me tell you, there's no big shots or little shots in God's eyesight. If he didn't speak to me, it is my job to speak to him. You are not, you might as well stop playing these games. You are not going to get away with being Mr. and Mrs. Big Shots.
Come on, Pastor, preach, preach.
It's not going to happen. So you waste your time when you ought to be giving him praise.
Right, right.
And so I'm talking about today, dealing, my friend, with the family. You may take your seat. Last time I did with the family, I got letters. That was good because they did listen. I want to be dealing with the family, and I know this already. I know this. You cannot today, you cannot give what they used to do, talk about a family of a man and a woman. You can't do that. That's our culture. Now remember, that's not biblical. So when you talk about a family, you got, I'm just going to name a few of the one they have given us. We go to school and we room with a classmate. They have said now, that's our family. We now, the new family, we live in a section of the city. We get to know each other well, and then we say, we are family. Then you're born again by the Spirit of the living God, And then you say, we are a family. Supersedes that. We are God's family. And let me say this. I said it. You'll hear it. It'll be broadcast. I don't take those kind of things because I'm stuck. But I said it, and I'm safe, and I'll say it again. No church. What did I do with it? No church that was organized from this. None. I don't care where they are. If they are not part of a family, they are not God's church. We who are in this church tonight, today, we are a part of God's family. I don't care if you're white, brown, green, gray, yellow, or pink. We are brothers and sisters. And until you get used to that, you're going to miss your blessing. Let me repeat it. And I cannot understand it. Brother Lewis here, he's an adult, senior. I cannot understand a man, a senior adult, hates people. Because we're not the same color. Now, let me tell you something. All of us, whether you know it or not, such your history, your biblical history, all of us came from three brothers. Do you know your history? And who was the dad of the brothers? Who? So all of us came from one of those brothers, so that makes us brothers and sisters. Don't get quiet on me now. Don't get quiet on me now. One of my nephews was dating a girl from Canada. They were in college together. And somebody in my family said, are we going to be able to communicate with them well? And I said, no, you won't, because you're not communicating well with me. Don't try to cross the bridge. Just stay deal at home. And the church of the living God, anybody comes in this church today and want to join this church and you got a nasty attitude, they're not going to join. Right. And then if they die and go to hell, it's your fault. Right. Let me put it another way. I was blessed. And a young boy was going to church with us that Sunday. My parents wasn't going. And when he got down, we got to his house, we stopped and rang the bell, and he came to the door and he said, I'm ready. I said, you can't go like that. He started crying. He says, I had a nickname and he called me that. I can't give that to you though. He said, I don't have nothing else. Listen careful. I had on a slip over sweater with a neck, I don't know what you call it, the way the neck was cut, nice sweater, and I had on a shirt. And I pulled my sweater off and gave it to him. And I went to church without a sweater on. It was cool, because he didn't have nothing. Now let me say it, because I don't want to go to heaven and God say, you knew it and wouldn't do it. God said in his word, I bless you with an overflow.
Right.
And the reason many of us don't have the blessing for an overflow, because we don't want to give nothing from the underflow. The church of the living God is a family of God. And you should know everybody is not going to be the same.
Right.
Carl, how many of us in your family? Speak up. Five brothers? Six all told. Brother Brown, how many in your family? Well, you're from the South, I understand. My brother, how many in your family? Five. I just listed, because I won't finish today. It's about the family. Brother Brown, all of y'all didn't see eye to eye. Is that right or wrong? That's a fact, he said. And then you come to church and they all act just as happy. He knows I'm right. Brother Carl, that all of y'all was always loving and sweet and honey pie and friendly and no fussing and no fighting. You had some. I'm not calling his name. I don't want y'all to know him. Number other, that happened, all of y'all was like honey Debbie. Now, if you understand that, that's life. But when they got through to having differences, you didn't fall out right or wrong. So listen careful. Listen careful this morning. But you listen, choir, you listen, you sing those good songs, and you go right down those steps, and you turn your head. And you're talking about, oh, bless that name of Jesus. What name?
Right. Tell the truth, Pastor.
What is it? Just listen. So then, when God saved us, that's why he moved in us. You don't have to be a member of no denomination for God to live in you. I'm not saved by no denomination. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And since I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, I lived in a household and people, when I talk about it, they ask questions. My brother-in-law, he was here today. I lived in a household that we could not cuss. I lived in a household, my brother and I, one of my brothers and I, we got to fighting. And I hate him because he put his hand on me. And when my parents got home, who you think got to whooping? I didn't get no whooping. I got a beating. My mother said, that is your what? Brother. She says, apologize to him. Well, I did it because you wouldn't have met me if I hadn't. Then she said, hug him. And then I put my hand to the side. I said, Mama, I can't do that. She said, no problem. Go get me two switches. Training me, in spite of what happens to us, I must love my brother.
Right.
And where'd she get that from? From here. And you check it out. Check my background. You never hear me talking about how bad people are in church. People say, well, you know, they're so bad. Come here. Brother Williamson, you are 23, right? 25. You're getting old. So 25. So listen careful. So he's 25. He's the only one in the household besides his mother and father. No one could convince Ephraim that he's not 50% spoiled. And you said?
No.
Well, that isn't what I seen. Your parents are just nice and you're the last son. That's understandable. So in the church, in this church, and any other church, I've been telling you this ever since I've been in St. Paul, we are out of order with God when we run people away from church.
Come on, Pastor. Amen.
Now let me back up. When my pastor sent me to this church from Chicago with a letter. The late Reverend Tim was his friend. I came to this church. I've said it before. This is the first time I'm saying it. This church had about 300 people in it. And five people spoke to me. 5. Johnny, you wasn't here, so you didn't have to speak. I spoke on my way out. I said to Pastor Robertson, I said, I can't go back because the people were not friendly. Are you listening? So I went and visited somewhere else. My family was in Chicago, and I got in trouble with them. And the Holy Spirit hit me in the other church. I mean, knocked me complete in another world. When I came to myself, I got up and united because he said it. My son said, Daddy, you are something wrong with you. You would never unite with the church and we're not with you. I had to do a lot of apologizing. Because what God had done for me, I violated it. Listen careful. God had sent me here first. And because of a few people didn't speak, I did not want to come back. And look where I am. Been here almost 100 years. So, you who are here today, you will get up this morning after this church give you the benediction. And you have the nerve to look God in his face and walk by somebody who won't speak to them, you are out of contact with God. But you don't know, I don't like them. What if Jesus would have said that when he went to Calvary?
Right, right.
I don't like them because of the attitude. You be in on your in you be en route to hell this morning. If he can forgive us,
right.
Let me, where's Tina? Tina, we need, I mean, Tina, stand up. If she plays a song and I don't like, I would never tell you, I tell her. I bring in my office and I give her whatever she needs. And the only way you'll know it, she'll tell you. You know why? The Bible says be quick to listen and slow to answer. If you learn what the Bible says, you will not be in trouble. Now, I'm going somewhere. You can pray until Jesus come back. If your heart is not right, it's not going to help you any.
Right. Come on, Pastor.
Not going to help you. Let me give you something else. This is me. Here's my brother here. Who are you? This is Gandhi. Gandhi's pastor sent him here. And he wouldn't come. Look where he is now. You cannot outmaneuver God. Right. Am I right or wrong? He took him 2 or 3 years, but he got here. Friend, don't just because you forget, God never forgets. He's the same. He's the same. That stand up, brother. I want to point it out so you can see this. I was a catechizer for this brother being ordained as a deacon in another church. And he said, he was one of the people who said, I gave him a bad time. I didn't give him a bad time. I wanted to find out, did he know what he was fitting to do? Because I had served as a deacon in 2 churches. And there he is, and he did well. So when he came here, it was easy for me to accept him because I know where he came from.
Right.
Did you read the scripture? Did you read the scripture again? What did it say?
Behold,
what did the scripture say?
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is
to do what? You see, friends, listen to what it says. It says if we're going to do anything, it must be in what?
Unity.
In what?
Unity.
There is no biblical church will not have some problems. Because they got some problem people.
Right.
Y'all are quiet today. I worked with Charles Bell, the senator. There he is in the church for I don't know how many years. I worked in the church with him. There he is, Charles. Stand up and tell him. Did you ever see me acting crazy? Wasn't there some reason, though, I could have? There's a lot of reason I could have. But the reason I didn't, I tried to get you to do the same thing I'm doing. I try to get you. And the reason that we won't change is because we don't study this.
Come on, Pastor.
This would change the devil. You'll run him out of your house if you read this enough.
Amen.
Because you won't say nothing because you if you say something now because you don't have anything else to say. But if you read this, Richard, you got something to say. Do you hear me, Richard? You don't have to wander around. Read it. Study to be quiet. That's what the book says. And so we're dealing with the family. Let's keep moving here. I wish I had more time. I'll be back. These commandments, dealing with the family, that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children.
Amen.
We have, I remember I would say last 55 years, we have messed up our families. We have lost control of our families. I said it when I was, first time I watched television in Chicago, I said to my wife, I said, we are going to have problems with our children because of television. So what we have to do, we have to write a guideline for our children and television. Gwen remembers when they had a certain time to watch television, they had a certain program to watch, and they did it. They didn't watch those, they watched the other when we wasn't there. Amen. When they got to be teenagers, I bought them, I think it's called a stereo that you can play records on. You all know the one that said, you know, you did the hula hoop with those records. Well, we bought one and put it in their room so they could have stuff to play so we could pretend we wasn't listening, but we were listening so we could tell them that won't fit you. You're a Christian. That's not part of you. Amen. 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 Now, this is hard for you to believe. I have never played a blues record on our stereo since I've been in California. I don't play those. And the reason, because they feed into me. And I like good music. I'm not going to lie about it. I like music so you can swing if you have to. But I can't have them both. Either I got to go by Jesus' music or by the devil's. I didn't say this in your hell, but I sure were you. So what are we going to do about the family? Our families are drifting worse and worse. Anytime you have grown parents tell me they got a 12-year-old boy and he don't want to come to church and they come and leave me at home in the bed. There's nothing wrong with that child. There's something wrong with you. You should have started bringing him to church before he got 12 years old. Because
right.
I'm going to tell you all something. If you haven't been paying any attention, why are so many of our children in... See, when I was growing up, there wasn't no juvenile hall.
Right.
The juvenile hall was to bring me a switch
right. And
pull your shirt off. That was the hall and the juvenile. I never knew what a juvenile hall was until I went to Chicago. Why would you want somebody to take care of your kids when you should do it yourself? And a lot of people have children and don't want them. You shouldn't have had them. Well, I slipped up. No, you didn't. How are you going to slip up in the bed? No, you slipped in there. You slipped in. You didn't slip up. And so because of that, look at our children, 12 and 13 years old, out of control. And parents, you are wrong. You might not ever speak to me again. I got to tell you that you're wrong to buy your 15-year-old daughter a dress halfway her hips. There is no man, a real man, none. I don't care what he tells you. There's no real man would see a woman half naked and won't look at her. Now here's how he's like, men are just like, they hold their head steady, but they roll their eyes. And the sisters do like this. Ain't nothing biting in your head. You're watching that brother. And you don't want nobody to see it. What we have to do is our children must be taught. They cannot come here adults. Amen. I've been in this church for 50 years. None of you have ever heard me cuss. I've heard some of you cuss. You know why I don't cuss? Because no value in it. What do you get from cussing? And if I was a cussing man, I'd cuss that man owed me $1,100. That's not going to solve the issue. The issue is, God, what must I do? And he said, count on me. I'll handle all your issues. Let's move on. So look again. Before I move in here, did you not know that babies are born now and they take over? Babies. And you say, oh, baby, mama's here, daddy's here, mama. Yeah, you said, if he or she is full, put them on the floor on a pallet. They'll stop crying sooner or later. Teach them how to grow up and be an adult. All right. Impress them on your children what you learn. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you, my friend, walk alone, that's the Bible, along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, that's in Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Talk to your children. Tell them. Amen. I told you I used to take my son out most every Saturday, different section of Chicago, and show him what was possible. And he said to me once, Daddy, you think I could do that? I said, you can do it. I said, there's nobody in Chicago smarter than you. And don't let nobody tell you that. They just have better opportunities. Mm-hmm. They're not smarter than you. Did you know all of your big factories in this world is not ran by the owners? They hire you, which use your brains and give you 10 cents an hour. So the family must come together. Must come together. I've taught this ever since I've been here. That do not bring me a program as not a young person on it. I don't want to see it. That's why you're 60 years old and ask you to do something. I don't like to get in front of a crowd. You got married. You got 6-7 children. That's a crowd. And they marry somebody and bring in somebody. That's another crowd. And each one of them have 8 children. That's a big crowd. The issue is, what are we teaching them? And then let me say this on my way to heaven. Anytime, nowadays you got to pick your words to say to people. You got to pick how you look at them. That's no Christian. Why should I have to deny myself telling you what God said because you can hurt your feelings? I don't care nothing about your feelings when it comes to helping you. I'm going to do all I can to help you. Your feeling must go somewhere downtown. I love children. You heard what the young ambassador said today? I want them to come before the church so they can learn how to speak publicly. And don't have to bow their heads when they're talking. I want them to be able to look in the eye and say, no, I appreciate the job, but I'm not able to handle it because I'm in college. Amen. You all know, all of y'all, who it's part of you all to say amen because you know you went through that. Amen. Richard, I did a lot of business through this church with you. Have you ever seen me bow myself to anybody? He said, I embarrass him. I said, if the truth embarrass, go upstairs. This church, I protect this church with my mind and my heart. I don't know much, but I know how to handle a dollar. Because I came from the old school.
Right.
We didn't have many dollars, but we certainly know how to handle them. I said it 50 years ago, and I repeat it again. There's nobody in church should not have a place to live. Nobody. This church is guilty. I have not built a senior citizen and a low-income place. We are guilty. You said, we didn't have the money. No, don't use the word we say. I didn't want to give the money. We had the money. I didn't want to give it. And, is that right, Joe? The family, listen to me carefully. The family, the devil has almost destroyed the family. God brought the family together. I don't care what the college teach you. I don't care what they tell you. You say, we a family. We didn't act like it.
Right.
I have only one brother left. And all of them is dead. He called me yesterday. He is walking with a walker. A walker. He said, I was just calling and checking on you to see if you need anything. On a walker. I said on a walker. You know why he's saying that? Because hell is beating in him. She said, if your brother have a need or your sister, you help them. Don't go behind a door and hide it. You got a cheese sandwich, split it. Amen. Split it. My youngest brother, the brother he's talking about now, he lived with me 3 years and didn't pay a dime. Because I wanted him to get a college education and he got it. Family. In this country, it's publicly known. Anywhere you go, and St. Paul comes up, and they say, that's the St. Paul in Sacramento. Oh, yeah, well, you know, be careful what you're saying. Because Pastor William will come back after you. That's right. You know why? I am the overseer. And nobody gonna talk to me about St. Paul. They might talk, but it won't be long because I won't be around them. Stop hanging around half-developed people.
Amen.
Get you a crowd. If you got them, be nice to them and get away. Get you a crowd that's going up. Soon and very soon. I'm going to meet the king. How you going to meet him in running with the low-down, evil, cursing, rejection of God people? You can love them, but love them running. Look back and say, I love them, but I got to keep on moving. Family. We need to be known as a family. And you need to be known as a family. You have a family and you can't get along with somebody, be nice to them and let them go. Right. Amen. I know someday I'm going to have some help. And the way I was trained, it's very difficult for me to do that. But I know I have to have some help. And so when I have to have the help, I have enough understanding how far to go and how far not to go. Because I need the help. Amen. I might have to get some of your help. Let me put it in another way. I might have to stay in your garage, Brother Belfield, as long as you got a heater in there. And so as we look on today about the family, let's look here. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. How many of you got small children teaching them about salvation, teaching them about God? How many? My grandson, 15 years old, stopped by yesterday and he said, Papa, can I have a bottle of water? I said, help yourself. Then when he got through, he saw something else. He said, Papa, he came to my chair while I was sitting down reading. He said, Papa, can I have some? I said, yes. He said, thank you so much. When he got ready to leave, he said, Papa, have a good day. He got my stuff. And he said, thank you. And he said, have a good day. So if he comes back again, he can get something else. Right. But he must be trained. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. I'm going to start over here. Listen carefully. When the last time that you thank God and praise God for your family? When? Oh, when the last time you tell God, we don't get along, I don't like her and I don't like him. When the last time you really thank God for your family? I didn't say it was a perfect family, but a family. You quit looking for perfect people. They're not in America. Nobody in America is perfect. And nobody in America will be perfect except Jesus come back. When the last time you all really thank God for your family? When the last time you thank God for being able to bless in your family that doesn't have it? When the last time you all stopped looking like you missed the so-and-so and shared with the family that needed something? When? When the last time you said to your family, I was wrong, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was wrong. When? Well, your family, let me put it the biblical way. Your family is under you. And if you are born again, you read the Bible and you know how to treat them. I didn't say they're going to treat you right, but you know how to treat them. Amen. Until you get a habit of reading this, you're going to always have problems you don't need. Being a Christian is very difficult. It's hard. But we got a powerful God in us.
Yeah.
It helps us. Amen. Helps us. Helps us. Helps us. Helps us. Helps us. Then when will we help somebody else?
Right.
Amen. Amen. Now I'm coming from behind the pulpit before I close. Come in so you can see me well. Anybody in here, if you can prove it, I'll give you a trip to Italy. I can't send you to China. But I'll send you to Italy. When the last time can you really say to anybody that I mistreated you? Stand up and come down and prove it. And you can get your ticket to Wednesday and go to Italy for 5 days. Sir? Anybody can say I mistreated them. If I mistreated you, but you can't go to Italy. And the only reason I'm saying that, that's taking a risk and a chance. We must endorse what's right and stand on it and watch God work at it.
Right.
Amen. 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 If you are listening today, and I'm closing, I'll be back. God needs some quality followers as well as friends followers. How are you following Jesus after you leave St. Paul? How? Can you illustrate to the world that you're saved? If you can't, you need to repent. The world ought to know you are saved without you saying a word. If the world doesn't know you're saved, then there's something wrong with your salvation. Because you can't be saved and not be different. Amen. 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 I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there would be no division among you, but that you would be perfectly united in mind and thought and spirit. It's not hard. It's openness and willing. And the older I get, the closer I want to get to God. I want him to say, when it's all over, Williams, well done. You have been a good and a faithful servant. Come on up and be with me. See, you've been reading stuff that somebody told you that's not in the Bible. A lot of y'all think going to heaven, it's going to be a lay down situation. You're going to be busy in heaven. If you don't do anything else, you're going to be in heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. That's what Revelation talks about. There's a job in heaven. Don't you want to go there? And I'll say this, we are closer to the end now than we have ever been. You see, I've been here and there for 40 years. Well, you're 40 years now closer. So if you're here today, think about yourself. Am I really saved? If Jesus called me home, will I go with him? What do I have to do to be saved? Admit to him that you are a sinner or you are backslidden and ask him if you're a sinner to come in your life and save you. And then you thank him and don't try to go home and let somebody tell you you're not saved.
Amen.
They don't have no saving power.
Right.
If you're here, we want you to get up wherever you are and come. Just the close, the walk with thee. Will you stand and come today? Will you come today? Will you just come today? Oh Lord, let it be. Oh Lord. Will you just come? Get up out of your seat. Will you just come? If you please. Will you just come today? He want to save you and bless you. Will you come? Will you come today? Let it be. Will you come today? He's speaking to you. Will you just say, yes, Lord, I'm going today. I want you in my life. Will you come?